This is the Poetry Magazine podcast for the week of June 5th, 2017. I'm Don Cher, editor of Poetry Magazine.
And I'm Christina Pugh, the consulting editor for the magazine. On the Poetry Magazine podcast, we listen to a poem or two in the current issue. This month, the magazine is celebrating Gwendolyn Brooks' centenary with essays and poems inspired by her work.
C.M. Burroughs is an assistant professor of poetry at Columbia College here in Chicago. One of her poems in the June issue is called Gwendolyn as Lover.
For Gwendolyn as Lover, I was really interested in getting rid of what I think is a consistent image of the elder or passed on poet as the mother figure. And in the way that we've talked about Miss Brooks during this 100th celebration is extremely reverent. She's due that, but I feel that we don't also give her credit for just being a woman, someone with desires, someone with lust and plain being.
Here's C.M. Burroughs reading Gwendolyn as Lover.
We fix you maternally in the mind, orient you in a case of tut, tut, there, there, and you're young yet. But how many times did you posture yourself for the broad body of him or him and open like home? His hands in your hair, your nerves rising kinetically to the cupola of his palms. Lover's propensity for being a keep and your saying, when you mean it, I am yours. We fix you in the mind as bright-sided seminar, dipping from the source all that you know. But how often did your eyes light in flirtation or fight, working from his getting your dander up to his oval mouth there? There, your teasing tut-tut in arousing admonition at what he was after, knowing, as you prepared to keep him, that you were young yet, and gleaning, gleaning.
There's a lot of pleasure in this poem. I think she's right that, you know, we often think of Brooks as this grand maternal figure, and here, just in the mind of C.M. Burroughs, imagining her being with a man sexually in love is really kind of refreshing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Here at Poetry, of course, we do think of her as being quite young. She started to send poems here when she was 14 years old and spent 14 more years trying to get in the magazine. Of course, she famously did in an early kind of autobiographical note that she sent us. You know, she listed her occupation as housewife. Mm-hmm. So between that and photos of her that we have, including one on the wall of my office, I tend indeed to think of her as, you know, a charismatic, attractive, ambitious, ingenious, wonderful presence. And the repeated word at the end of the poem, gleaning, gleaning, really is a terrific characterization of, I think, what we see as the essence of Miss Brooks, as so many of us continue to call her, that gleaning, that attentiveness to so many things, whether they were related to poetry or everyday life or somewhere in the middle there, really is the essence of Gwendolyn Brooks. And to think of her as a lover does her great justice.
And she was so, you know, maternal and giving and generous to so many here in Chicago. And some of the people we know and talk to a lot kind of remember her as being a teacher, a mom, you know, this sort of a figure. So that may be some of where this poem is trying to take off from and be a foil to in a certain way. And I also remember, you know, knowing certain things about Brooks, you know, how important it was to her to be a mother and how she really felt that was important for women in general to be mothers. She didn't force that on people, but that was a huge part of her identity. This approach, I think, is, again, for me at least, something a little bit more unexpected. And I did love that gleaning, because, again, those sort of misreadings that you do sometimes in poems, I first read it as gleaming, you know, in her youth with the gleaming of her spirit. And, of course, that sort of gleaming would have continued throughout the rest of her life. But I really love that it's not gleaming, that it is actually gleaning, doing that sort of work that you were talking about, gleaning ideas and words and images from the world.
Mm-hmm. And hers, of course, was a poetry of the body, of the bodies, you know, that live in particular places surrounded by family members and neighbors and even adversaries. And all of the embodiments of a life do include, as this poem says, the lover's propensity for being a keep. And even, as this poem says, you know, picturing her saying, "I am yours," is something you do get in the poems as well, that there was a sense in which she belonged to people, that it was her contribution to bring to poetry and to the world around her a kind of love, a love that seemed to be missing in a troubled world and still does.
Let's hear another poem from C.M. Burroughs. This one's called Our People, One.
With this poem, I tried to strike up a conversation with Brooks through her poems that think about the Southside communities and what I know of my own Black communities that I've been a part of. And I wanted to open that gaze up again in the way that she does so well in her poems.
Here's the poem.
Our People, One. Rustle plastic bags of outside food in movie theaters. Talk out of turn in the swallowed dark light. Believe trash should be, as confetti, everywhere in the viaduct's shadow, souring in gutter's craw. Jaywalk with the urgency of sloth. Split verbs meaningfully. Do or want to do better. Tattoo so you will never misremember our names. Name ourselves Precious and Mercedes. Must have some Indian in us. Search for signifiers in eyes, bright earlobes, textures of hair. Our color struck, our disabused, our definitions of love. Love and don't know how to call it. Grieve any number of nouns, mostly people, pets. Preoccupy with memories at the repast. Recall that day at the beach that leads us to days at the beach, grilling, meat browning, its purpose. Its children on the sandbar tossing a ball, the dog biting the surf. Finally, some mirth we carry for keeps.
You know, we also think of Gwendolyn Brooks as being among the great modernist poets. And so her poems took many forms, had many shapes, and she was a real experimenter. And this poem carries that forward in Burroughs' own voice so that you can hear the rhythms there, which are sort of distant cousins of the rhythm in We Real Cool. The emphasis, the stress is different, but the line lengths are short. But in Our People, One, the lines are sort of punctuated by forward slashes, and so they take on a distinctive look on the page, which is a kind of marker of the ingenious way this poet carries forward a legacy by having echoes of Brooks in it, but not being, you know, a copyist or an imitator. I mean, the whole thing for Brooks was to give voices to other people, having given her own, and that succeeds marvelously here.
Yeah, it seems to me those forward slashes tend to score the poem in all kinds of ways. You know, you have the line breaks and a lot of kind of wonderful enjambment at the end of these lines, as Brooks was so good at doing. You know, famously, as you were saying, in We Real Cool, it's sort of like the most famous enjambment in the world, right?
Yeah.
But also this sort of, you know, you get the sense of the poem just being, you know, slit and sort of refolded again and again within with these forward slashes working. And there's so many wonderful moments in here, just the way that it progresses from plastic bags of outside food, ending
the dog biting the surf, finally some mirth we carry for keeps.
With that near internal rhyme. It's such a musical poem.
Well, and it's also populated, as Brooks's poems always were, real people, your neighbors, people you would see in neighborhoods in Chicago. For people who aren't familiar with the area, you know, we have beaches here on Lake Michigan, and, you know, when the nice weather comes, we all go out there and see people. But we're also very close together in our neighborhoods, so that what people are up to is never separate from what we're up to. And I just love that the lines are sort of close together here, the way people are. The phrases of the poem are neighbors to each other. As you say, there's a lot of wonderful wordplay here, as Brooks often loved to have in her own work, for instance.
Preoccupy with memories at the repast.
So it's not a repast. When you look at it that way, it isn't just like a picnic or, you know, a shared meal, but it is a way of revisiting the past, you know, sticking together and keeping things together, holding things together. But yeah, the children on the sandbar tossing a ball, the dog biting the surf. There's a kind of an urban ecology at work here, because I think increasingly it's possible to see Brooks as a visionary that she was among the sort of eco-poets of our own time. You can read Our People, One, and Gwendolyn as Lover by C.M. Burroughs in the June 2017 issue of Poetry Magazine or online at poetrymagazine.org.
Let us know what you thought of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org.
The Poetry Magazine podcast is recorded by Ed Herman and produced by Curtis Fox.
The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. I'm Christina Pugh.
And I'm Don Scher. Thanks for listening.